Right to John's Gospel. John's Gospel and to the 8th chapter. John chapter 8. While you're turning that up, Mr. Greer is on his way. And when they're over to Canio, as you know, we're down in Castle Durg this afternoon. But they are on their way and they'll be in the meeting shortly. John chapter 8. Reading together, please, from verse number 12. John 8, verse number 12. Let us hear the word of God. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go, but ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true. For I am not alone, but I am the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself, because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come? And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you, that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Amen. We'll end our reading there. And we know that God will bless the public reading of his word. To every heart, it is that 21st verse that I want to leave with you, really the end part of it. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Let's just unite our hearts in prayer. Every believer laying hold on the Lord now in these moments. Praying for the help that we need, let's all seek the face of the Lord together. Almighty God and Father in heaven, in the blessed and holy name of Jesus Christ our Lord, and by the merits of his redeeming blood, we approach again the throne of grace and of mercy. And we do thank thee, Father, in these moments that there is such a place, there is such a refuge that we can come to, and there to seek help and grace for every time of need, and especially for this time. O God, we need thee. We need thy power to envelop this meeting. We cry for movings of the Holy Ghost. All too soon the benediction will be pronounced. The church doors will close again in thy will to next Sabbath. And O God, we cry to thee that thou would just close us in for a season. Oh, that thou wouldst rend the heavens. Oh, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence. Oh, thou that hearest prayer, hear prayer now. And I confess before thy holy throne my complete inadequacy to deal with what is before me now in this meeting. Empty me now of self and sin. Wash me completely in the blood of Christ. Fill me now with the Holy Ghost and power. O God, I cry to thee, grant that divine anointing. Grant, O God, that holy baptism, which God alone does give, and we bless thee, thou dost give it. Lord, baptize now with the Spirit of God and of power. Bind the devil, and may the hush of God himself come over this gathering, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. John's Gospel, where we have read from tonight, is one of the most loved books in the Bible. The New Convert will find so much there that it will thrill his soul. The New Convert will find much there as a babe in Christ that he can feed upon and nourish his soul in those early days of his Christian faith. The old saint who has walked with God for many years can find also deep waters there to swim in and much food for his soul. There are many portions of John's Gospel that are shared with the other Gospel writers. Some parts of it, Matthew and Mark or Luke, will record also. But there are many parts of John's Gospel that are also only peculiar to John. There are parts of John's Gospel, parts of it that you will find nowhere else in Scripture. I think of that day when the Lord turned the water into wine at the wedding feast in Canaan. Or John 5, when that impotent man was cured at Jerusalem. Or the man born blind was cured in Jerusalem. John 11, Lazarus raised from the dead. That day in the Garden of Gethsemane, when those Roman soldiers all fell backwards, whenever Christ declared his statement, I am, that he was indeed the great I am. Or that great draught of fishes caught there in Galilee's Sea. In John 21, and John records for us that there were 153 of them. All those little truths are only recorded for us by John, and also the words of our text. You won't find these words anywhere else in Scripture. Solemn words, serious words, words that every dear unsaved soul in this meeting needs to pay attention to and needs to let sink deep down into their hearts. I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. I want to read that again. I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. The Lord Jesus Christ here, at this juncture in John chapter 8, he's addressing a band of sinners. And he comes out with this fearful statement. Ye shall die in your sins. And whither I go, ye cannot come. I want to speak for the time that remains in this gospel meeting on Christ's fearful words to the sinner. Ye cannot come. Ye cannot come. The first thing I want to show you about this text is this. The reality of sin that Christ explained. Jesus said, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Christ here is revealing to his hearers the reality of their sins. Ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. The little word ye there, it means ye yourselves. Ye yourselves, read it like that. And ye yourselves shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he preached, he applied the reality of sin very personally. He never made sin out to be something that wasn't personal. And understand that, dear people, tonight as we gather here before God, sin is committed by individuals. And from that moment, it is their sin which they committed, which they are guilty of, which is their fault, and for which they are to blame. And when Christ here in this text said, ye shall seek me, it literally means ye yourselves shall seek me, and ye yourselves shall die in your sins. He's making this so personal to this congregation that's before him. Undoubtedly, there were believers there. The disciples would have been there. But he's addressing the unsaved at this moment. And he's dealing with them about the nature of sin and that it's their sin. Ye yourselves shall seek me and shall die in your sins. The word your, there at the end of verse 21, when it says, and shall die in your sins. That little word means of you. Of you. Their sin source was of themselves. In their heart. It's such a revealing text. It makes it all the more revealing when those in view would class themselves as religious. They would have been those that would have attended a place of public worship. That's who Christ's addressing here. They would have been known in that society as those that did attend public worship. And yet Christ says to them, ye yourselves shall seek me and shall die in your sins. And shall die in your sins. The reality of sin that he's explaining here is just after these Pharisees have dealt with a woman caught in adultery, the first portion there in John chapter 8. They wanted her stoned. They had no mercy for this dear soul. But the Lord delivers the woman from this cruel mob who were heartless towards sinners. He forgives this dear woman all her sins. In verse 11, see those great words. She said, no man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. And then he turns unto these Pharisees, these hypocrites that have been so condemnatory upon this dear woman. And he says to them, ye shall die in your sins, and whither I go, ye cannot come. He deals with them on the subject of their sins. It's yours, he tells them, yours only. It's of you. It's from within you. But unsaved, the same Lord Jesus addresses you tonight out of this same text. And he says, it's your sin. It's yours and yours only. It's of you. It come out of that heart within you. It's your sin. It's yours and yours only. It's your fault that was committed. You are guilty of it before God. You're to blame for it. But our friend, listen. Christ is telling you, you never deal with that sin. He says, whither I go, you cannot come. You cannot come. The particular sin in view, one of them was the sin of unbelief. Look at verse 24. I said therefore unto you that you shall die in your sins, for if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. The Lord is showing them here the awful sin of unbelief, of Christ rejection. It's the damning sin. It's the damning sin. And some in this meeting are guilty of this awful sin. Until this moment in your life's experience, you've rejected Christ, Christ's word. You've rejected his call to your heart under gospel preaching. For only you know how long. The sin of unbelief. The sin of rejecting Christ. And the Lord's telling you, you continue like that, you'll die in your sins. You'll die in your sins. Understand that. If you never meet Christ and get to Christ on the subject of your sin, Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, right now tells you, you will die in your sins. I would say the scene was electric. I would say you could have heard a pin drop. Here's these people known in the area as those that attend public worship. And now Christ's addressing them. And he says to them, ye shall die in your sins, and whither I go, ye cannot come. Now, could that just about sum up some in this meeting? You're even known in the districts in which you live as those that attend public worship. And yet you're still guilty of the great sin of unbelief. Of never having come to Christ. The Lord says you'll die in your sins. Nobody says, I go my way and ye shall seek me. Clearly those Christ addresses here knew who Christ was. They had heard his word. Undoubtedly. They're hearing it now. They had seen lives changed by him. They knew who he was. They knew he said he was the Savior. Christ here was not speaking to the heathen who had never heard the gospel. He was speaking to those who had heard it and heard the scriptures read time without number and had even read it themselves. And he says to them, ye shall die in your sins. And whither I go, ye cannot come. The reality of sin explained, it's your sin. It's of you. The reality of death also assured in the text, and ye shall seek me and shall die. Shall die in your sins. Sin and death, as you and I well know, go together throughout the scriptures. They can't be separated. Death is certain. Death is inevitable. Death can't be stopped, can't be hindered. It's irreversible. First time the subject of death is mentioned in the scriptures, it's mentioned in connection with sin against God there in Genesis 2:17. As you know fine well, there was Adam in the garden. There's the first time we have the two of them together. But dear people, understand that from that moment, across this world of ours, death has been certain. Death has been inevitable. Death has not been able to be hindered. Death is irreversible. It can't be stopped. Jesus said, ye shall die in your sins. As I said, those whom Christ is addressing here are unsaved. They're spiritually dead, as you are, friend, in this meeting. But Christ here speaking about the subject of physical death. Ye shall die. It's certain. It's inevitable. But the question is this: how will you die? It always comes back to this. You see, the end in all gospel preaching. I want you to understand this. The end in all gospel preaching is this. That we might see people die in Christ. That's all that matters. How many times have you heard that? Many times have you heard that statement? Someone has passed away. And somebody says they were saved, they got saved years ago, and somebody said it's all that matters. Because it is all that matters. And here Christ says, ye shall die in your sins. The word translated die there could literally be translated perish. It's translated perish over in Matthew 8. Let me just tell you what the setting was. The Lord just delivered the demonic of Gadara. And the devils were cast out. And Christ commanded those devils to go. And the Bible tells us they went and they perished in the sea. See the scene? Departure from Christ is to perish. Departure from Christ. Christ said, go. He commands them to depart. But what's in view is Christ telling those, yes, devils in that case, to depart. But sinner, here's the point. You die in your sins. Christ will say, go. Depart. The day you meet God, depart, go, ye shall perish in your sins. It's unavoidable. The reason you'll die is sin. The reality is you will die any moment from now. Understand that. Any moment from this moment, you and I can expect to die. Any moment from now. But I'll tell you this, as one old preacher said, I read this week, at death, we leave behind all we have and take with us all we are. At death, you leave behind all you have. and you take with you all you are. Think about that statement. Some here will go out into God's eternity under the merits of the blood, clothed in the righteousness of Christ, to enter into the joys of heaven forever. Oh yes, they've left behind all their worldly possessions, but all they were was in Christ. But others will go out into death and take with them all they are, a lost, guilty, fallen soul without Christ in your sin. Oh man, woman, young person, understand it. You die tonight, you leave behind all you had, but you take with you all you are. You die a lost sinner. You go out into God's eternity a lost sinner. You die without Christ. You go out into God's eternity without Christ. You die in your sin. You go out into God's eternity in your sin. You die unforgiven. You go out into God's eternity unforgiven. There once was an old Scottish divine called Dr. Thomas Chalmers. He was a professor of theology and the first moderator of the Free Church of Scotland. And Dr. Thomas Chalmers said this: the character wherewith we sink into the grave at death is the very character wherewith we shall reappear at the resurrection. Oh, understand that, friend. You die out of Christ. The character you die with, you rise with. The fires of hell that will engulf your soul from that moment to the resurrection are not designed to produce better character in you. I said this before, the fires of hell are not chastening. The fires of hell, my friend, and you wonder why we preach to you. And you wonder why we pray for your soul. Because the fires of hell are designed to damn the character you were. Their punishment. They're not designed to produce better character. And the character you sink into the grave with, you rise again at the resurrection in. You leave behind all you have. And you take with you all you are. Sinner, how will you die? I'm not leaving this point for a moment. Answer it before God. Forget about everybody around you. Forget about the preacher. Before God Almighty right now, before whom all things are naked and open. Man, woman, young person, how will you die? Don't tell me I'm enjoying life. It's all going to end. You tell me how you're going to die. If it happens tonight, how will you die? You leave behind all you have. And you go out into eternity all you are. In your sin. Without Christ. Unforgiven. Never pardoned. Never washed in holy blood.
never washed in the blood of Christ. What a way to meet God. To never have been washed in the blood that Jesus Christ shed at Calvary for sinners like you and sinners like me. How will you die? The reality of sin, the reality of death, assured Jesus said, "You shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come." Thirdly, the reality of heaven closed to you. Then said Jesus again unto them, "I go my way, and you shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come." Christ is speaking here ultimately about the kingdom of heaven. Dear unsaved friend, I want you to understand there's nothing in your life at this minute that is suited to heaven as you are. God's holiness makes it impossible for you to enter it in your sin. His justice makes it impossible. His law makes it impossible. Not that defileth shall ever enter heaven. Sinner, in your sin, Jesus said, ye cannot come. It's not possible. Now get that into your head. Christ addresses you. Young or old, the Lord of glory, the Christ of God, declares to you tonight, as you sit in this meeting in your sin without Him, it's not possible for you to enter heaven. You've got to grasp that. You won't get in. You'll never be in glory if you die as you are. Whether I go, you cannot come. It was a fearful declaration. When Jesus said, "Ye shall seek me and shall die in your sins, whether I go, you cannot come," He was declaring to those that He addressed that they would never be saved. They had passed the point of no return. I tell you this, don't go there. If you have the slightest pang of conviction of sin in your soul, you bow your head before God right now and you thank God for it. Because you can read John 8 all you want, this message does not affect those men at all. They've just been told they'll never be in heaven. It doesn't affect them. It doesn't worry them. But I say from this pulpit tonight, and I say it in love to your soul, man, woman, young person in this meeting, if you can sit through gospel meetings and never, ever have trouble in your soul, and walk out of those meetings with no concern in your heart, maybe having sat in meetings where others were gloriously saved, and you can walk out of those meetings and there's never trouble in your soul, I tell you, before God, you're in trouble. I said this before. If you get to that position, there's not a thing a minister or a preacher can do for your soul. John 8, Christ has just told these religious Pharisees, you'll die in your sins, and whether I go, you cannot come, and it doesn't affect them in the slightest. They sit through it untouched. They sit through it with no trouble in their soul, seemingly. But if you have the slightest pang of conviction, concern in your heart, you bow your head before God and thank Him for speaking to your heart. It's the Spirit of God striving with you. Man, woman, young person. Don't let it be said of you, they died in their sins. The word cannot, I've already said, it means it's not possible. Christ just says, whether I go, it's not possible for you to come. You have no right to enter heaven in your sin. That's what we're dealing with here. The subject of heaven. The place where the Lamb is all the glory. Where the redeemed of all the ages go. But the question is, will you be there? That's the question. Christ says you die in your sins, you won't be there. It's not possible. Sure, we all learned the little chorus. There is a city bright. Closed are its gates to sin. Not that defileth. Not that defileth shall ever enter in. Sinner, you need to meet Christ in your sin. You need to get this dealt with. Because the Lord warns you tonight. Yes, those that are found in a gospel service, and thank God you're found in it. He says to you, you die in your sins. It is not possible for you to enter heaven. Whether I go, you cannot come. Same writer John, it was that recorded Christ's great words in John 14. Oh, what different words they were. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I'd have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, the same word. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I'll come again. And receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And there are people across this meeting, and the clock is ticking until that day when the Lord comes and fulfills that promise in your life. He's coming for you. But there are others. And the Lord's saying to you a completely different message. If you continue the way you're going to die in your sins. And whither I go, ye cannot come. It's not possible. The first time sin is mentioned in any of the Gospels, I looked this up this week. It's always mentioned towards the forgiveness of sins, towards redemption. Matthew 1:21, call his name Jesus, he shall save his people from their sins. Mark 1 verse 4, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Luke 1:77, to give knowledge of salvation unto his people by the remission of sins. And John 1 verse 20, behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. And you, everyone, know that. There's not a soul sitting in this meeting that doesn't know what to do to have the forgiveness of sins. There's not a soul sitting here that doesn't know who you need to come to. There's nobody here in that category. I venture to say also there's no one here that doesn't know the message of the gospel. I venture to say also there's no one here that hasn't seen firsthand lives transformed by the power of that gospel. I venture to say something else. There's no one here that doesn't want to be in heaven. I venture to say that. There's nobody here who would say to me, don't care. I don't care, Tom, if I lose my soul. There's nobody here would say that. Thankfully. But Jesus Christ says to you, continue the way you're going. You're going to die in your sins. Whether I go, you cannot come. And you're going to lose your soul. Whether I go, you cannot come. You say, preacher, if I come now, will he save me? Yes, he will save you. Will he forgive me all my sins? Yes, he'll forgive you all your sins. Because he came into this world to save his people from their sins. That they might go at last to heaven saved by his precious blood. But you need to come to him. Christ says, come now. Repent, believe the gospel. Come and wash and be clean. Come and receive the forgiveness of all your sins. But know of assurance if you don't. Ye shall die in your sin. And where Jesus is, you can never be. Lost. Lost. You didn't intend it, but it happened. My, that is awful. And yet the Bible tells us that it has happened time and time and time and time again. Where people who never intended to be lost were careless and they played with sin. And they put off the day of coming to Christ for the forgiveness of those sins. And in a moment of time, death came. And took them from all they had. But took them just the way they were. Out into God's eternity. You say, preacher, why do you say such things?
I say such things because from the bottom of my heart, I don't want that to happen to you. Why do you always talk about death, Tom? Because you and I is going to die. That's why. And the Bible warns about it over and over and over and over again. And our holy Lord preached on the subject of hell far more than he ever did on heaven. Ye shall die in your sins. Saith the Son of God. And whither I go, ye cannot come. You know where I got this message? Wednesday had come. I hadn't the slightest idea what I was going to preach on tonight. I went to do a visit to a dear man of God. I'm sitting by his bedside. We were talking about dear souls that need Christ. In the midst of the conversation, he quoted that verse. Says, Tom, those words, ye shall die in your sins, and whither I go, ye cannot come. And the minute he said it, I knew immediately, there's the message for Sunday night. I went home, began to prepare it. Got to the point I'm at now in the preaching of it. The little thought about the second death. And this is as true before God as I stand here. And as I sat at my study writing it out, the phone rung. And a man in this town said, Tom, explain to me the second death. I said, the second death is that day when both body and soul are cast into the lake of fire. Revelation 20. This is the second death. But I said, listen. Those that are washed in the blood of Christ have no part in the second death. John penned these words. Ye shall seek me and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. It's just not possible. But there was a day in that same John's life when he was an old man and he was on the Isle of Patmos and the same Lord Jesus gave him another word. And he said, John, write this down. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. Tell me. We've seen the reality of sin, the reality of death,
The reality that heaven is closed to those that die in sin. But there's another reality. For you, my friend, it's one or the other. It's either blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. I pray to God across this auditorium, that's what it is for you all. Because if it's not, you shall die in your sins. And whither I go, Jesus said, you cannot come. Imagine the scene. Been told by the Son of God, you cannot come. Sinner, my friend. And I mean that from the bottom of my heart, as much as I can mean it out of a heart like mine. Won't you come to Christ? Won't you come to Him now? Because when all is said and done, it's all that matters. It's all that matters. It's all that matters in that day when you leave behind all you have and take with you all you are. It's all that matters. There once was a notable Christian, and of this I close. He lived in the Scottish town of Ayr. And he was blind. And he came to die. And the family were gathered round. He said to me, open the book of Romans and go to the 8th chapter. And he opened the book of Romans and went to the 8th chapter. He said, put my finger on the final verses and read them to me. And he put his finger on the page. And they read, I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor principalities nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor length, nor breadth, nor depth, nor height, shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And having read the verses, he went to be with Christ. He died in the Lord. But I remember reading a little story of another person who died. And all the mates were there. And the perspiration was running down this dear soul's face.
Joey, hang on in there!
The mates cried. Only to have the voice come back, what have I got to hang on to? Dear people gathered tonight for the evening service in this church. Dear people watching on by means of the internet. For us all, it is either blessed are the dead which die in the Lord, or you shall die in your sins. And whither I go, Jesus said, you cannot come. My friend, come to Christ now. Wait no longer. Wait no longer. Because sooner or later, you're going to run out of time. That's always what happens. That's what happened, Balaam. That's what happened, that man in Luke 12 that had the good year with the crops, that man that lived out in the country. Ran out of time. And he died in his sin. My friend, Jesus said in this same gospel, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and the one that said it was the only begotten Son, as he pointed men to himself and the work that he would do on that cross, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Therefore, my friend, come to Christ. Come to him right now. Right now, in the quietness of your heart, lift your heart to God in heaven and cry for mercy. And I am telling you, God will save you. Let us just unite our hearts in prayer. With every head bowed, and the Lord's people praying. My friend, is it not time to come to Christ? Is it not time you were saved? Is it not time to seek the Lord? Maybe God has been speaking to you tonight. I believe the Lord has been speaking in this meeting. What a blessed thing when God troubles a heart, draws that soul to Christ. Oh, my friend, come to Christ now. Just where you sit, you can come to him. If you want counsel, Reverend Greer and myself will be at the door. If you want us to visit in your home, whatever suits you. We won't embarrass you at the door, won't ask you questions, wouldn't do that. We'll do whatever we can. We want to see you saved. Will you come to Him tonight? Maybe you say, "Preacher, I've been troubled for so long. My friend, come now. Please don't listen to the lies of Satan that will tell you, put this off. Because that's who's saying it. God has been saving in recent times. People have been coming to Christ, closing in God's offer of salvation, taking care of the matter of their eternal soul, where it'll be. Sinner, come to Christ. Father, in the stillness of these moments, as undoubtedly the battle rages in the soul, and the doubts of the enemy will be put there to stop souls, we pray, O God, bind the devil in these moments. We plead the blood. Give deciding grace. Bring souls through for Thee. And hear prayer we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's sing two verses.